After Catherine's tense argument with her husband at the motel, she reunites with the group at the Dust Bowl Diner. Inside, Ryan's unsettling encounter with the diner owners, George and Gladys, quickly escalates when he's squeezed too tightly in a hug and warned to leave the city. Harold intervenes, allowing Ryan to escape, and the group retreats to the motel to regroup. The next morning, they're visited by a group of men offering help with their car, but the ominous good luck they leave behind raises suspicion. And now, you find yourselves in the motel. It's morning, and the unsettling encounter with the four men still lingers in your mind. Imani and Luke have quietly made a decision, stealing a car, as it may be the only way out of Bakersfield.
Well, Luke is an early riser. I'm assuming everybody is still asleep. And I'm also assuming that our door is still wedged shut. So, obviously there's no coffee and I'm yearning for coffee. So I would gingerly try to, I'll look out the window first, if there is a window, to see if anybody's outside. Then I will just try to pry the door open very, very carefully.
As you look outside, you can see that there are some people who are walking around this morning. It's still very early, so there's not that many people, but you do see some walking.
Okay. I'm in a very unfamiliar place. I only saw this place at the evening, so nobody still knows me, so that should be fine. I'll try to look for that diner that Gladys mentioned, which is just across the road, and probably try to grab some coffee, probably some bagels if they have some.
So the diner is right next to this motel. This motel is in like a large parking lot, so it's right next to it.
Okay, so I see it. Okay, that's fine then. Yeah, I'll just approach it.
You enter inside and you see a man sitting behind the counter, hands resting. Hello there.
Good morning. How does the hygiene of the place look?
It has like a thin layer of dust around it. It's very old. It's like a 1920s style diner. And you can see and hear the music playing from the old jukebox off to the side. But the man looks very, very clean comparative to what you see inside here. There's not one hair out of place, not one wrinkle in his clothes. And he looks great.
Oh my god, I'll try stealthily to measure how thin the dust is, or how thick it is.
Yeah, you could take a swipe.
Does it leave a trace?
It does. It leaves a little trace, yes.
I guess I was in the wrong place. I go back out and find somewhere cleaner.
Well, as you go back outside, you can see that for miles, there's not much else here as you're turning your head left and right. Yeah.
Okay.
You can't really see anything else other than this diner here.
Oh god, I will have a slight panic attack. Go back in. Good morning. Sorry about that. I have a condition.
No problem at all. How can I help you?
Do you have, like, coffee and bagels or something?
Yeah, of course we do. Well, we got muffins. We got coffee and muffins.
Better than nothing. I'll take a coffee and a muffin then, please. Make it four. I would like. I probably assume I know Kat, so I'll ask Kat's blend. I'll skip Ryan. Dude is still a kid. He should not start with caffeine. Imani is probably, because who drinks her coffee black? She seems to be that type. I would get my coffee 50% coffee, 50% milk, and four cubes of sugar.
Can I get your name, sir?
No, that would be, because Luke White, please.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Luke.
Nice to meet you, too.
And then you feel a breath on the back of your neck.
Oh. I carefully look back.
And you see Gladys is standing behind you, and she's smiling.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you like some company? You're sitting all alone.
No. I prefer my mornings to be alone. Thank you.
Of course, I will respect your wishes.
Thank you. And I'll respect your wishes to leave me alone as well. Thank you.
Well, I guess I should go check on my husband.
Kath will probably be an early riser. Maybe not as early as Luke, but fairly early. And initially, when she wakes up and sees Luke's not there, she sort of like looks at the time, knows his routine, sort of shrugs, and then she'll shake Ryan awake.
Oh.
Hi, sweetie. It's
What time is it?
It's early. Just after 6:30 or so.
Oh.
I told you it would be a lot of early mornings.
Yeah. Ryan would kind of rub his eyes a bit. Did anyone try to get in?
And then she'll take a seat on like the side of your bed and she puts her hands in her lap. Not that I know of. Imani took over a watch, didn't wake us up. Luke will be back. Luke will be back. This is part of his routine. Don't fuss.
Ryan kind of nods at that. Well, that's a relief. Oh. George and Gladys seemed nice, but I don't know, just something about them.
Well, I think for Harold to get himself involved, it must have been a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
What did they do exactly?
Well, it started off pretty normal. Ryan will kind of fiddle with his camera a bit. They just wanted to kind of take a picture near some of the stovetops. Then they just asked me about my folks, and I kind of said the line I say to a lot of people, you know, that they make time. And then they kind of pushed a bit, and I admitted that they don't have a lot of time, and it's hard to see them. Once I said that, then they kind of wanted to comfort me, I suppose. And so they kind of joined in a group hug, and then the hug just kept going until it got... You know when you're kind of just packed in like a subway car against people, it gets harder and harder to breathe. It's kind of like that, but it was almost as if like they were kind of forcing it to be tighter and tighter. And then Gladys said we should leave, or the rats would eat us, and that just... I kind of just spiraled from there, to be honest. I'm not sure if they were trying to be malicious, but just after that, I just didn't want to be there.
Oh, sweetie, and you were so excited to see the kitchen, too. And she'll sort of, like, pat your leg. I just...
Yeah.
They did seem strange. Are you sure you're all right? That's... I mean, maybe they were malfunctioning or something, but that's still quite a shock to go through.
Malfunctioning? That's like for drones, though. They're just an elderly couple. They said they've been married for so long. I don't think that you'd program drones like that.
Well, you know what old folks are like. They malfunction. They get tired. They get confused. Don't be silly.
Yeah.
And she'll give you a little pat on the cheek. So,
yeah.
Today's agenda. But we wait for Luke to come back. He is getting a little longer than he usually would right now. But we'll give it a few minutes before we, you know, raise any alarm bells or that kind of thing. No need to send people into a panic if we don't need to. And then I think... We either fix our car or we I'm sure between us maybe we have funds for a new car, even if it's just, you know, even if it's just an old banger. But I think first on the agenda is to get back on the road. We've got tight deadlines.
Yeah. It'd be good to leave this place in the rear mirror. I don't know what happened to your car. I'm sorry. We had a whole plan. We were gonna push it in the middle of the road to stop people. And we kind of just left it. So it could still be there. I don't know though.
I mean, if we couldn't get it working, we're gonna have to bring someone out there anyway. So we may as well look for the help that we can. And then she'll get up and sort of like move to the window and sort of like peek through the curtain, see if there's any sign of Luke. And then she'll put the netting back down, sort of flop onto the bed. And then we just have to suffer more waiting.
And we return back to the diner. It's been about 15, 20 minutes.
For a cup of coffee.
Yes, and it's very quiet inside of the kitchen.
Hello? I know making coffee is hard, but... Hello?
And you feel a tap at your back.
I look back.
It's Gladys. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How's your husband at the back?
My husband?
Yes, your husband.
Yes, George.
Yeah.
He must be in the kitchen.
You were in the kitchen.
I'll just go check on him. 1 second, and you see her walk back to the kitchen. Can you give me a wits roll?
Okay. I have no successes and no failures. I'll push all of them. One failure, and last one. Yeah, just the one failure.
So you lose one hope, yeah, and Gladys Jesus. Continues to make her way to the kitchen. Or what you believe to be Gladys. Looks just like her.
Mm-hmm.
And then George comes out, and he has the coffee cups in there in the plastic containers, and he has a box with 4 muffins, and they look like freshly baked chocolate muffins for you.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
Sorry about the wait there, pal. Here you go.
I grab it. I put the cash on the counter. It's like, have a pleasant morning.
Oh, this is more than I need. Are you sure? Do you want your change?
Keep it. I'm happy with this. Good service. While we're walking back to the hotel room, you say there's a parking slot here. Do we see any cars?
Yes, there are some cars here. So a lot of them look broken down, dirty, old, kind of rusted. A couple of them are missing wheels. So it looks like people kind of just leave their broken down vehicles to rot here.
So I'm assuming there's non-viable to steal at the moment.
Nothing here in this parking lot.
That's the case. I'll just continue forward. I will open the door of our motel room. See them awake. Because good morning. I bought coffee and muffins.
This is far better than your usual routine. And she'll sort of get up to move the furniture from the door to help you get in a bit easier.
Thank God Luke is skinny. So he's just like... Scoots to the side. It's like, I got it. Okay, your usual here, Kat. And Imani is in the room. I give her her black coffee. And I'm assuming I got it right. Just to tap myself in the back. And before I start drinking... Oh, then I had over muffins. Ryan, you're not getting any coffee. You're too young. You should stop. You should not rely on caffeine this early. Because at your young age...
He's right, sweetie.
What? How old do I have to be for caffeine? Gotta push his hands through his hair.
Oh yeah, he is 19. He's not like a 15-year-old.
Still young. I didn't start becoming addicted to coffee until I was like 20, and that was the worst mistake of my life. One of the worst mistakes. So I didn't get you anything, but I got you muffins. I got everybody muffins, so I hand each one.
Well, thank you.
Okay. So while waiting in the diner...
You went to the diner?
Yeah, why? Is there something wrong with the diner?
I mean, did George do anything weird? Did he ask you anything? Did he do anything?
Not George, but it took 15 minutes to make the coffee and the muffins, which was kind of weird in itself. I mean, Gladys was the weird one, so...
Yeah.
It's just that Ryan had an incident with them last night. Ah, so we were going to avoid that place, but we have coffees and muffins, so... It's good to keep pushing on, keep going. You didn't see Harold there, did you?
Your husband?
That's the one.
No.
That's good, that means he's gone home.
You need to explain that to me sometime after what happened there, but not today.
Not today. I was talking to Ryan about the agenda, the plan for today. Number one, I think we can all agree, is to find a car or people who can fix my car, and just get back on the road. Imani's on quite a time limit, and you know, we don't want things to run away from us, do we?
Yeah. Maybe. I remember that Gladys said something about a repair shop when we first came in.
Yeah, we saw it. It's run down. But if we're literally looking for a car or somebody to repair Chris, Kat's car, it seems like the only option we have. I'm not against it, per se. But we need more information. It's like, we don't know Bakersfield. I have no idea what's in this town. Might as well check the... checking the Neurocasters and everything to see what's going on here.
You're old enough. You're ugly enough to make your own decisions. Online first. Online first, Ryan? Does that sound good?
I mean, if you guys...
I heard you're ugly enough to make your own decisions. What did you say?
You're old enough and ugly enough to make your own decisions.
You said he's ugly?
Is that not a saying?
Not in my place.
Oh, it's a saying in the UK. Big enough and ugly enough to make your own decisions. It's a term of endearment.
Sorry. Is it?
Of like, you're too grown for me.
I had to step in for that. I was like, she just called
a subtle roast. I'm just kidding.
No, it's like it's a term of endearment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just want to make sure I wasn't the only one who heard that.
Okay. Look, I'm just like, I don't like to rush things here. I'm uncomfortable enough with whatever is happening here and whatever we're doing, actually. Sorry about that. But we need to actually plan this step by step. It is very irresponsible, like, especially in this kind of situation that we have no backup. It's very irresponsible of you just leaving us behind. Like, I know the car because overheated, but then you suddenly jump in because the car of your husband. That's irresponsible. Like, at a certain point, we need to take responsibility of our current situation and actually plan accordingly.
Because I obviously knew he was going to drive off with me.
No, I did not know.
Is that what you're implying, Luke?
I did not know. Why did you drive off with him?
It wasn't my choice.
Exactly. You just step in the car.
Considering this road trip is mine, and it was my idea, yes, you helped me. I don't think I'd just, you know, go off abandoning it at the first sight of Harold. So you knew me better than that, Luke. And she'll sort of, like, brush off, like, the crumbs from her muffin as she stands.
Kat.
Are you going to use my Neurocaster or what?
Kat, you... Okay, I apologize. I am stressed. I just want this thing. If we're doing this thing, doing this travel, it's best to have, like, an actual plan. And since we're taking the scenic route, or originally taking the scenic route... so that Ryan can experience the things that can be seen, we need to plan our pit stops properly, you know, because, you know what, I am failing to describe this. Let's just check online. and then go from there.
Okay. Just don't dive too deep, Luke.
I paddle in shallow waters.
Well, at least use mine so that you know it works and it's safe. Well, those stories that you hear. And she'll sort of like rummage around for her Neurocaster and then hands it over.
And then at this point, I would just like to put a side comment. When I look at the Neurocaster, it's like, you know, there's a reason that I don't own this. There is a reason why I only have this one at work kind of situation. I don't recommend people having this at home.
And so tell me what type of information you're looking for. If it's easy information, it will be an easy roll. If you're trying to look deeper into things, it might be a little harder. So tell me what you're looking for.
Google Maps, basically. Like a map of Bakersfield in repair shops.
Okay.
And additionally, if there is time, I would like to check out the next pit stop over. Like, I'm gonna measure the distance based on the tank of Kat's car.
So you got two successes. So the first thing you're looking for, it shows the locations that are operating in this city currently. You have the Dust Bowl Diner, which you had already experienced with George. You have the roadside rest where you're currently staying. The empty tank, it is a gas station, and the rusted wrench, and it's the only functioning repair shop here in Bakersfield that you find. And for in terms of the next pit stop, where her gas will take her is Fresno, California.
Yep, that will be my Neurocaster journey. I log off, remove the Neurocaster. How long have I been inside?
It's been about an hour.
Do I see you guys still in the room?
Yeah, Ryan would be kind of just nervously going through people's stuff or wringing his hands. Kind of just that nervous energy is kind of like spiked since you put on the Neurocaster. So he's like kind of not as much cleaning, but just more just examining everything, kind of bouncing about.
Ryan, the sound of a bustling kitchen fades in. You hear the clinking of dishes and the distant murmur of voices in a home once filled with warmth, and you're now 13 years old. And you're sitting at the kitchen table and you're waiting for your parents to join you for dinner. But they're late again. Just like they've been for the past few months. What is he thinking?
He kind of has that wishful hope. It's like any moment now as he kind of glances back at the apartment door, kind of goes over to each place setting, kind of arranging it, adjusting like a plate before sitting down, like dumping out the waters that have like poured into cups and filling them back up, just these idle tasks. But mostly he's just wondering, like, it's that hopefulness of they're coming any moment, and then that becomes a cascade of excuses, like, oh, they obviously hit traffic, so it'll be a half hour till they get here, until eventually kind of the sun kind of begins to set down a bit, and he kind of retires onto the couch, kind of still watching that door, and pulling a blanket onto himself.
An hour passes, and your parents finally walk in. And you see they have boxes. Your dad has boxes in his hands.
Oh, he'll just have a great big smile and he'll just rush over and just hug their waist.
Your father goes, "Oh, hey, pal. Sorry about that. We were really late."
It's nothing. I didn't even notice. You guys are back. What did you guys get? Those are big boxes.
Well, we got a little something new. We were out shopping and we were convinced to buy these new Neurocasters, I think is what they're called, son.
Oh. That sounds cool.
Yeah. And your mother goes, Ryan, sweetie, we're just going to try this for a bit because we were able to test it out at the store. Okay, it is amazing. Now, it's supposed to help your father relax after a long day at work, and you want him to relax, right?
Yeah. I mean, but, I had the plates set up and everything, but I'll put those back.
Oh no, sweetheart, leave them out and listen. 30 minutes, okay?
Just 30 minutes, okay? Yeah.
Yes, it's supposed to be harmless.
Yeah. I can wait 30 minutes.
So your parents, they open up the boxes, brand new Neurocasters are inside, and they hook it up, they set everything up, all the technology inside of the house, they plug it in, and they both sit at the couch. And the TV's still on, so that the light from the TV still cast onto their bodies as they're sitting there. And 30 minutes pass. 1 hour passes. And then 2 hours pass.
I think at the two-hour mark, he kind of begins that nervous pacing and kind of sits on the couch next to him, kind of trying to make enough of a depression that, like, he at least rocks the couch a bit just to see if that phases them.
It does not. And you can see, like, their bodies are kind of, you can hear them breathing and sometimes even gasping, like they're seeing something amazing, but not really talking. Fingers are twitching. You've seen over this past like 2.5 hours. By like 2 hours and like 45 minutes, your dad finally takes his off and he says, it's like being on a vacation without leaving the house. Right. You should try it sometime.
Oh.
It's incredible. And he takes it off and his eyes are still wide.
What did you see?
I went across the world. You wouldn't believe it. It's so different. And, like, his hands are still holding it like he's thinking about putting it back on already.
I mean, since you have it off, I mean, I could show you what I've been taking pictures with my Kodak. I got this cool shot of a caterpillar on the window ledge of the apartment.
Right, you... You like taking pictures, right?
Yeah.
Yes. You know what? Come show me some of those pictures. I'll take a look.
Yeah. I'll go get them. I got a little shoebox that Ryan will kind of rush over to his room to grab that.
Okay, you rush to your room, and then when you come back, you see that your father has put the Neurocaster back on.
Ryan kind of open the box up, kind of sit by his dad, kind of just leafing through some of the photos, kind of just arrange him on his leg, just to what'll show him when he gets out. Kind of his eyes get a little bit wet at the edges, and kind of just brushes it off.
Your parents sit in the living room, each wearing the Neurocaster helmets. You can hear that slight hum of the device as it fills the air, and you stand staring at them, pit forming in your stomach. It's 2 years later. Your mother, looking a little bit more gaunt, eyes look a little bit more tired, more gray hair. She looks skinnier, as does your father. Your mother sitting at the table, you have just placed some food in... Well, you haven't placed food in front of her, but there's a plate in front of her.
Do you want anything to eat, Mom? I know there's some frozen peas in the fridge. I could heat something up. I don't know too many recipes, but there's a lot of instant meals that taste pretty good.
She says, Ryan, honey, why don't you go out and order something for us, okay? We're going to be a bit busy for a while.
Oh, I mean, I figure, like, you know, a home-cooked meal, even if it's in the microwave, is good together. You could just take 5 minutes away, you know, it'd take 2 minutes to heat up, and then maybe two minutes to eat. We could just sit and talk for a bit.
Your dad claps his hand on your shoulder. He says, just a few more minutes, champ. And then he coughs. You wouldn't believe how real this feels. And he looks sick.
Yeah. I know it's great, but I mean, I haven't seen you guys for a bit, so I mean, I figured we could just all sit around the table just for a second. I just need to.
Ryan, you should see the places we're visiting, though. It's like nothing in the world compares. It's amazing. Says your mother as she's looking down at her empty plate.
Yeah.
And she gets up, and you see her arms are a lot skinnier than before, and she kind of like struggles a little bit to get up from the table. It's taking a lot of energy out of her, and she says, just a few more minutes.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
All right, well, at least let me help you to the couch.
Thank you, such a sweet boy, such a sweet.
Yeah.
We'll talk later, Ryan.
Yeah. I'll grab something and we'll sit around the table. But pretty sure some place is open at this time. But you'll let me know when you guys are getting ready to come out, right?
Neurocaster helmets start to go on, and she says, "Of course, of." It doesn't finish her sentence.
Yeah. Well, I'm heading out. I'll be back in just a bit. I think it's just there's a place around the corner. I'll go over there.
What happens when a chosen one decides he'd rather make pastries than fulfill prophecies? He opens a bakery. Absolutely No Adventures is an audio drama that follows Chosen One Sig as he dodges quests alongside his eldritch horror baking assistant and isekai'd New Yorker witch friend. In each bite-sized episode, he has a new epic adventure to avoid at all costs, while making friends and a few enemies along the way. Check us out on your favorite podcasting apps for breads, pies, cookies, cakes, and absolutely no adventures.
So, any news?
Good and bad news. What do you want to hear first?
I mean, are we getting out of here today?
That depends. There's this one place, there's the Rusty Wrench. It's just by the entrance of town. Seems like it's the only place that can repair a car.
Well, you said it was about a mile or so out, right? That the car stops. Could we not push it here?
Flexes my biceps. Not the strongest person here. It took us... Luke remembers the time we tried to put the car in the middle of the highway and decide against mentioning that. okay, it will take all of us to move it.
Mm-hmm.
But we can. that's the route you want to go. I'm personally... Well, no. Not personally. It's like... You know what? I'll look at Imani and said... and think... Not saying... Not agreeing to her plan... Looks at you, Kat, again, and go, yeah, we need to push it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just thinking, if there is anybody that can help, they'll have to come out and then bring the car back, but if we just push it here, it'll be horrible and really hot and sweaty, but it's the quickest way. What was the name of that garage you saw?
Rusty Wrench.
So we push it to the Rusty Wrench.
Okay.
Anything else catch your eye?
That's the bad news.
Okay, well...
Well, no, actually, that's the good news. Actually, that's both the newses.
Oh. Well, you wanted us to have a plan? We have a plan.
I also check where our next pit stop is based on our the remaining tank in the car. It will be in Frenzo? I forgot the name.
Fresno.
Fresno, yeah. It will be in Fresno. How are we doing with food in general?
I mean, I brought enough for the two of us for a month. Now there's four. She shoots Ryan, like an apologetic smile. Not your fault, sweetie.
Okay.
Now there's four, so half of how long a month's worth of food for two people would last.
Okay, since it's just been a day, I think we can skip the food first. Probably in the next stop or two. We should see if there's any grocery stores.
We can stock up at every other stop. Seems a good pattern to get into.
Yeah, most likely. That should cover us the majority of it.
Okay, well, if there's nothing else.
Okay.
You can show me where you left my car.
The same spot you left us.
I deserve that.
Yep, you did. And in a very uncharacteristic manner, Luke taps Kat's shoulder. You deserve that.
As you guys make your way out of the motel and you begin to walk back the way that you came, back to find her car, along the way, you do pass by the rusted wrench. And Kathy, you notice your car is already there.
I thought you said it was where I left you.
We did push it in the middle of the road, maybe.
You pushed it in the middle of the road?
It was only across like two lanes, so it's not the middle. It's just the side.
Serves me right for leaving you there, I suppose. And she'll shoot Luke a smile. And it quickly fades when she realizes that her car is, in fact, in the town already. Well, we'll head in. We will speak to whatever clerk is available, and we will ask why my car is already here and who brought it. How does... sound good?
Now, this is the only functioning auto repair shop here. It is... you see, it's cluttered with, like, old parts, oil stains. There's a few working vehicles that... looks like they're owned by some people here. Outside, there are two men who are wearing like black leather jackets, and they're leaned up against either side of the door to get inside of a small building.
Do they look like any form of threatening or just workers?
They don't look like workers.
Do they look familiar? Because I remember a woman stepping out the black SUV or the black car hitting Ryan.
It is not those people, no.
Okay. Who has the gun again? I believe I do, right?
I wouldn't have brought it with me. I'd have left it in the hotel.
Okay. Okay. Professional demeanor. Slowly approach the entrance of a shop. Acting like, because I have business here.
They block the door.
Oh, excuse me. May I get those go through?
Look who we got here.
Yes, a customer.
More outsiders stranded in our little paradise, eh? You must be desperate for fuel or something else.
Desperate for repairs, but not desperate enough, if you put it mildly.
You want your help with your ride?
That would be pleasant, yes.
Hey, we asked for help this morning. And he said no.
It was kind of aggressive. Weren't you in town?
Kind of rude to deny our help, and now you want it? Now it's going to cost you even more.
How much more?
Depends on how nice you are. And he smiles.
Then I would like to humbly apologize for my behavior, or our behavior for this morning. We would greatly appreciate your help.
His friend looks at you. The other guy. Oh, he says, you're so sweet. I bet he'll do whatever we want. How about you get on your knees and apologize to us? And we'll let you inside.
No.
Oh, looks like you're stuck in Bakersfield then.
No.
Luke, we don't have time for this.
Wait. I look at Ryan, I look at Imani, I look at Kat.
Quick question, does Ryan have his camera on him?
He does kind of tucked into his denim jacket a bit.
The one who told Luke to get on his knees, he looks over at Ryan, and then he pulls out a piece of paper in his back pocket and unfolds it and looks at it and looks back at Ryan. He goes, "You with the camera."
Ryan's gonna kind of just take a couple steps back, maybe behind Imani.
Yeah, he's pointing at you.
Me?
What's a kid like you doing with fancy tech like that, Sentry Scout? Huh?
No, I don't know. Just a little bit of field photography, you know?
He turns around what he was looking at. It's an image of you with the Sentry logo over it. Wanted.
Ryan's eyes will just become like the size of saucers as he just panic sets in. A little bit of sweat starts to build on his brow.
Why does Sentry want you, huh? Why are you bringing trouble into this town? And he starts to walk closer to you.
Ryan will just backpedal. I go in between.
He's like, hey. You want no trouble here? I think you got the wrong person.
I think I got the right person. He's gonna push your arm away. And he says, "You don't mess with the rats. We own this town."
I don't know who the rats are. We just want to get out and you can keep owning this town. Look, we don't want any trouble. You got the wrong person?
Yeah, you do.
Because any way I can signal Cat, like, ready for violence?
he goes, hey, Joey, I don't think I got the wrong person. He shows him the picture. That's the kid, right? And the first guy is like, yeah, that's him. I'd advise you not to lie to us, you know?
That's not that kid you're looking for.
Yeah, sometimes photos get distorted.
Funny. He opens the door, calls, he goes, Rusty, we got a problem.
Okay, I think we were in the wrong place. I don't think we need our car anymore. I wave everybody back. I think we can find our way out of here quite easily.
You see a huge guy, like, walk out of the door, like 6'3", jacked, large muscles, comes out. He has a cigar in his mouth. He says, "We got a problem here."
No, Mr. Rusty. No.
Nope, we're just leaving.
And he takes a little longer look at you, Ryan.
Try to sidestep behind someone.
I don't know why Erica's like out of character. I don't know why everybody's still lingering. I'm just waiting. Let's go.
Do you guys like try to run away? What do you do?
Ryan would book it at the first sight of an opening.
I'm running. I don't know what your guys are doing. I'm running.
Yep. Just dead sprint.
And as you guys are running away, five more men have walked out of the rusted wrench.
This isn't necessary. We don't want any trouble. As you like sort of watch them leave, and I guess there's like people between her and them now, so she sort of stays.
Oh, Kathy stayed?
Yeah. She didn't know they were running.
The big guy comes out, Rusty, who they called. He goes, "Listen, we got some papers about that kid, and they'll pay us a lot of money to turn him in."
Is he dangerous? I mean, why would he have? That's ridiculous. He's been my next door neighbor for years.
He's dangerous if he's causing Sentry to come crawling. You understand?
There must be some mistake. Ryan is a good kid. He wouldn't get caught up in anything like this. Can I see that? Would that be okay? And she sort of like holds up her hands to show, like, you know.
And he like snaps his fingers to the guy who had it before. Guy walks up, hands you the paper.
And she sort of takes a look at it. Does it say why he's wanted or any other sort of details?
It just shows his first and last name on the back. It shows his image. And it says wanted. Does not say why.
Look, fellas, I don't have sentry money, but Ryan's a really good kid, and I promised I'd take care of him. If there's anything...
He goes, hey. I don't care about your sob story or how good or how bad he is. If Sentry wants him, they're gonna get it.
Okay.
I don't care about your story, lady.
Okay. Do you...
That's your car, right? And he points over to it.
Yes, that is my car. Yes. And she kind of follows him.
He walks over to it, circles it. He says, we can fix your car, sure, but it's gonna cost you. Fuel's not cheap, and neither is our time.
I mean, well, I'm not going anywhere without Ryan, so I don't think I need the car fixing if you're so intent on trying to take him from me. But thank you very much for your help. I'll be...
Money's not the only thing you can pay with. He looks you up and down.
She sort of shrinks back in herself a little bit. It's a very kind officer, but... Like I said, Ryan's sticking with me, and you seem intent on disrupting that, so I think this is probably where our business should end.
Is this where it's ending? You make the choices now? You call the shots, huh? And you could see the men start to circle behind you, and he walks closer to you.
Would you consider turning a blind eye to him being here?
Why would I do that? Hmm?
Because you don't have to do this. I know what the news has said, I know what the stories say, but we're all still people. We can help each other.
Oh, that's sweet. You can certainly help me, pretty lady.
If I was to... that, would you consider letting him leave here?
There'll certainly be a discount if you do.
But Ryan, would you let him go if I did this? Whatever you're asking of me, would you? I can pay money for the car. If I did this, would you consider letting Ryan go? Turning a blind eye, pretending he was never here, at least giving us a head start.
Sentry's offering us a good amount of money. If you can beat it,
we'll
let you out of here.
How much?
$500.
$500. And that's the other option.
Oh, there are so many options.
What if I gave you all the money I had and then more? And she sort of like points to herself because she can't quite say it.
30 minutes with Rusty and all the money you got, and you have one trip out of Bakersfield.
With the kid, right? With the kid?
Yeah. With the kid.
She'll kind of like look behind her to see if they're like, I'm imagining they're gone now, but she'll kind of make sure they're out of earshot. And she'll sort of like cross her arms in on herself. And I have your word. This is, you'll let us go.
I'm a man of my word, if nothing else. And he comes closer to you. And he's like towering over you. And, like, with the back of his hand, rubs down your face.
She doesn't move away from it, but, like, she's visibly shaking. 30 minutes with Rusty, then. Okay, yes, fine, yes.
How much money do you have?
It is not mine, it's my friend's. Just shy of $900.
Oh. In that case, we'll cancel our little rendezvous. Unfortunate. I would have been so gentle. Give the money to the boys. We'll have your car ready within the hour. He just nods, and then he walks back, kind of like lumbers away back into the body shop.
Kath lets out like the biggest like sigh of relief, and then like looks at a shaking hand, moves her hand to her face, sort of like tries to slap her cheeks, get herself out of it. And then she'll just take a really big deep breath in, straighten her back, and then start walking back to the motel to tell them.
As you start to turn around, one of them goes, hey, where's the money at, lady? When I let you go without it?
My friend, it's in my motel room. You can come. you can come with me to retrieve it, just so you know that I won't do anything.
Oh, we would love to escort you.
Okay.
And you see that there are about four of them that are following you back to the motel.
Okay. Is Gladys in the reception area when we get back?
She is.
She'll give like a deep nod to Gladys as she goes. Just some company, Gladys. I hope there's no trouble with that. And she'll give another nod again and just sort of like beeline to the room.
Gladys smiles. Oh, no trouble at all. Fine, young men.
And then when she gets to the room door, mm-hmm. she sort of looks at it for a second and then looks at them. Did you want to wait here or in the room as well?
Oh, the more the merrier. Let us in. Show us around the place.
Okay. And she'll sort of like do like a couple of heavy knocks on the door. Luke, Ryan, I think we've worked out an agreement. I've got some of those fellas from back there. We're just coming in for a moment, okay? And she'll start like opening the door.
As you say that, like as you're saying, like calling out their name, one of them moves you out the side, lifts up their leg, and bangs the door open. Sorry, lady, you were taking too long. Apologies. I go get the money.
Not a problem. And then she'll head inside. Would we keep our money collectively together or individually? Just because.
Individually.
Okay. I guess she'll take them over to Imani's bag because she knows that Imani's the one with the money, and she'll take it from her bag. Like she's like looking in the corners of the pockets as well, just in case there's anything extra she can find to like give them.
They follow you in and they go to that bag too. One of them moves you out the way, snatches the bag from your hand, and starts rooting through it himself. He takes everything.
Everything? Like the coolers?
Everything.
Oh.
Little something extra for our troubles. You understand. Most of this money.
Wait, no. Wait. You can't.
Excuse me. It's quite rude to interrupt somebody when they're talking.
I'm sorry. I just. You can't. That's important.
Listen. Our boss, he takes most of the money. It's only fair that we get some of it, huh? We're doing all the work for him. You understand how it is. Hard times and all.
Take something else. Take anything you want extra, but not that.
Hey, you could tell the kid to leave. You could have 30 minutes with me, and I'm not as gentle as Rusty.
Fine. Take it. Fine. She sort of throw up her hands in exasperation.
And he taps your cheek twice. A little too hard.
Grits her teeth.
Thank you. Yeah, the one who's taking all the stuff, he goes, hey, before I leave, what's your name?
Catherine. Cass.
Sweet name for a sweet lady.
Have you got what you need now?
Ooh, more than enough. As he's like looking at all the money, he's looking at everything that Imani had packed in her cooler, and then he stops, and then I'm gonna roll for him. I'm gonna see if he notices one more thing. He does not. And he continues out. He has all the stuff. And all the four men walk back to the repair shop.
As soon as he leaves, like, she slams the door shut, holds it shut, and then just, like, bursts into tears. Only for a few minutes. Pulls herself together, moves away from the door and sits back on her bed, as she was this morning.
They took all of her money, her neurocaster, her first aid kit, and everything she had inside of the cooler.
Would Kath know the specifics of what they took? Or just that they took pretty much everything Imani had? She doesn't know.
But you know that they took everything. Imani knows what was inside the cooler, which was insulin and a lot of first aid supplies. Now, all gone. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Electric State, The Path to Dawn. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to share it with your friends and family, and don't forget to leave us a review. New episodes are published every week on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Amazon Music. I'm your Game Master, Maia. And I'm joined by Arcturus as Ryan, Serge as Luke, Meg as Catherine, and Naya as Imani. Check out the links in the description to learn more about the game and our amazing cast. About the big guy, Rusty, can I just say, I feel disgusting.
Sorry. Not as disgusting as me.
And I'm going to cut this out. I feel gross. I want to crawl out of my skin. Sorry, I had to let that out because I feel...
I'm glad we're letting this out together.